Jesus. So on now. Acts 10, beginning at verse 34. Through visions and the movement of the Holy Spirit, Cornelius, a Roman soldier, and Peter, the disciple, had been drawn together to meet. And Peter had broken Jewish law by going into Cornelius' house. And he is speaking to them. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mou tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. And our tarangapai tapu, our holy gospel, is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Te rangapai tene a te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise Christ the word. Whakamoe matitia e te kupu mana.
Awesome. Thanks. Great. Well, Christ is risen. I'm going to keep saying it. I think I've told you before, and I think many of you will have experienced it and know that in various countries around the world, actually, that's the normal greeting on the streets in the time of Easter. People just, you know, Christian or not, just say that. You know, in Greece they say Christos Anesti. Yay! Who said that? Fantastic. And that's great. And, you know, and in Russia, someone will probably tell me, I'm not sure what they say. Don't know. Okay. I can't remember that one. But I do remember the story, you know, which I know I shared last year, of the Russian priest who, under the Soviet regime, when Christianity was all but banned and many, many Christians were sent off to the gulags, as well as anyone who stood up against the regime, the communist regime. There was a priest who was left in this village, or in this town, actually. And a speaker came through for the Communist Party and had a big rally and set up a stage. And all the important people sat on this stage. And the official, the party member, invited the priest to stand there so that he could mock the priest and say, "Look how wonderful we are in this kind of sort of post-Christian secular environment where you know, science reigns and the Communist Party has brought hope to all the people." And the people were not feeling too hopeful, but had to be there. You know, you didn't really have a choice. You had to turn up, I guess. And they listened to this person take the mick out of Christianity and, you know, and kind of talk about the glories of the Soviet Union. And then at the end of it all, he felt very sort of pleased with himself and everything, and then thought he would just stick the priest in front of everyone, who was an old man, and, you know, he was just kind of all that was left, really, after the church had been dismembered. So he just handed the microphone over to the priest, and so this priest, and he just thought, this will be great, this will be fun. And the priest shuffled up to the microphone, and he said, "Christ is risen." And the people said, and they did. He just sat down. And just everyone, to a man, woman, and child, you know, replied with great volume, "He is risen indeed." I don't know whether everyone necessarily believed that or not in that place, but they knew that there was more than the communist regime that they are under. They knew that there was more than the particular political system they were under and the oppressive regime. And you'll know how many millions died under that system. But that's another story. And so many stories of Christians, actually, which I'd love to tell, but I won't, standing up in the middle of all that suffering and knowing that Christ is risen and that it is worth living for him, no matter how hard it is, whatever's going on around us. So I'm actually going to... Roger McCormack asked if he might be able to say something this morning. And in a moment, I'll invite him to come and do that. So he's got a wonderful story of resurrection, really, isn't it, Roger? because the resurrection is real, isn't it? We don't just sort of say these words and they're empty words. Paul says that if the resurrection didn't really happen, then we of all people are most to be pitied, you know, because we're just hoping and we're just, you know, we don't actually have any hope. You know, Jesus died and that was the end of it, you know, but that's not true. The fact is that he rose again from the dead. And the thing that I like to, the picture that I like to have about this is this. It's the fact that, you know, a couple of weeks ago we heard about a sort of resurrection. We heard about Lazarus. So a couple of weeks ago, you know the story of Lazarus. Lazarus, as we know, he was a friend. Lazarus, Mary and Martha, you know, brothers and sisters. He died, and he was put into a tomb. And then Jesus, a couple of days later, came to visit, and Mary and Martha were there, and they were, you know, obviously really upset. Their brother had died, and they were saying, Jesus, if you'd been here earlier, you could have saved him. He wouldn't have died. He didn't need to die. But you weren't. And Jesus says that I am the resurrection and the life. That's where those famous words come in. So just cutting a long story short, Jesus goes and he tells Lazarus, come forth from the tomb. You know, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out from the tomb and he is alive. And it's wonderful. But as I have said before, you know, poor old Lazarus, he had to die twice. Most of us die once. He sort of came out of the tomb, didn't he? Back to life. And then he would have potted around for I don't know how long and until someone got him who didn't like the Jesus movement. Or he just died of old age or sickness or, you know, he got run over by a donkey or something. I don't know. Poor old chap. But anyway, he ended up back in that tomb again. I don't know what you could call that. What could you call that? Not quite. It's sort of resurrection, isn't it? But it's sort of resuscitation or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's kind of like he comes back, but he's this side of death, same side of death that we all are, and then he goes back into the grave. Jesus, just like you and me, was born. He was conceived and grew in the womb and then was born. And just like you and me, he had to learn how to walk. He had to sort of fall over quite a bit. He had to rely on his mum and his dad. And just like you and me, he was a teenager. You know, just like you and me, he was in his 20s and, you know, he was working in a workshop and doing all that kind of thing. And just like you and me, he ate with his friends and his family. He laughed. Just like you and me, when someone close to him, Lazarus, died, he wept. He knew pain, he knew suffering, he knew joy, he knew all these things. And then, just like you and me, Will, he died a human death, just what our death. He went into the grave. But unlike Lazarus, who then came out and then kind of went back in again, when Jesus rose from the dead, he burst and broke the gates of death and burst out the other side of the tomb into life, life everlasting. He broke the power of death. There's one of the oldest hymns that has been sung by Christians going back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years is, by death he has trampled down death. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Christ is risen, it says in that hymn. It says, Christ is risen from the dead. By death he has trampled down death. So he had to go into death to defeat death. And while he was there in the grave, he trampled it down and he broke out the other side. He broke the gates of death, as it were. And he came out the other side. And so he's made a way for us to follow him. So we were born like Jesus. We grew up like Jesus. We will die one day like Jesus died for us. But unlike poor old Lazarus, although actually Lazarus does get this as well, but you know. But Jesus broke out the other side of death and now says, yep, you'll sleep for a wee while. And the New Testament's got a lovely phrase the early church used, the first Christians. Death is falling asleep in Christ. That's what they call it. Falling asleep in Christ. So we'll fall asleep for a wee while in Christ and then Jesus will go, you know, all right, that's enough. Come on, let's go. And he'll wake us up and out we go into the light and into life everlasting with Jesus. We're with him now, aren't we? Amen. Why are we with him now? Because Christ is risen. He is risen. So he's alive and he's with us now and he's with us all the way through our lives. He'll be with us when we're asleep in him, asleep in Christ. You know, we'll just nod off for a wee while and then he's with us as we go into life everlasting with him and all the adventures that lie in wait for us. So Roger, would you like to come up and we'll just hear a a few things that Roger wanted to share. I won't spoil his thunder, so I won't say any. You can come up the middle if you want, Roger. He's being very humble. I'm going up the side. Roger, if you don't know, many of you will know Roger McCormack. He's a shepherd, and I had the privilege of going and seeing his dogs at work. He has won awards, or his dogs have won awards, or they both have together, and yeah, it's wonderful. I've never seen anything like it. Just with a few whistles, this dog would shoot off across a river, you know, into a paddock that's sort of way over there on the other side of the river, and then just bring a whole load of sheep with a few more whistles down to our feet. Amazing.
Thank you for that kind introduction. Yes, I am a shepherd, and I'm very privileged to be one. My name is Roger. I've been a member of this community. I call them my family for many, many years. In fact, people have said to me, why are you still here? Why aren't you down the road at one of these Pentecostal churches or something? It's because you are my family. When I look out here, I see a sea of faces who have prayed for me, who have loved me, and helped me through a situation which is I'm going to tell you about now. So this is a very important time of the year for all of us. Jesus is risen. Amen. This time, 12 months ago, I had major cancer surgery. I had my bladder removed, the prostate removed, lymph glands, I can't remember what else. And I was going, I thought, relatively well. And I was going pretty well with the prayer and knowing the Lord. But anyway, things happened as they do. And about the third week, my pulse rate increased and it got faster and faster. My breathing was very staggered. And that also got faster. And I couldn't get enough oxygen into my lungs. So people are on a bit of a worried state about this. But I just say this. Doesn't this time of the year give us hope? Isn't this the most important part of our Christian walk? Hope. Jesus died for me, a wretch. So anyway, just to cut a long story short, my pulse rate topped out at 200. The breathing was I don't know what. And I didn't know at the time, but the doctor came to me next day and said, you're very lucky to be here. And that happened twice. And I didn't want to die because I have a beautiful wife down there, Leonie, and she had cared for me all through this. COVID was running rampant and we could not see one another. I couldn't see my friends. But what was amazing, you people prayed for me. And I tell you, that power of prayer lifted me. It helped me. And I believe without a doubt, the Holy Spirit saved me. Because I shouldn't be here, according to the medical records. So, for me, this is a very special time of the year. And it is here, and I tell you this story, not for me, but for everybody. There's hope. There's hope in the Lord. There's hope in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose today. So that's my story. I'm here, a message of hope. God bless you all.
Thanks, Roger. I just think that just that simple story of the body of Christ, of, you know, supporting one another, praying for one another, loving one another. And whether we live or die, we are in Christ alive, aren't we? You know, I love that that picture of Daniel's three friends in the furnace, in the fiery furnace, you know, and they're standing there, and just before they go in, they say to the king who's saying, you know, worship me and, you know, all this kind of thing. And they just say to him, look, you can throw us into this furnace, but our God can save us from it. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to worship you, you know. They just know that they're going to be okay, whether they live or die. And the reason is because of that life which God, they knew was coming, which God would show one day in Jesus Christ. The fact that he has beaten sin and death. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that fact of his resurrection that we know our sins are forgiven. We can know life and life in all its fullness. And in the middle of all of our ups and downs, we can know that Christ is with us and is with us always. And death is not the end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing now. So, Bert, if you'd come up. If you'd like to stand.